Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Well, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. Excited to be here with you. Appreciate you spending your day with me today for an hour. Maybe it's late at night, catching this podcast while you're driving to work. Whatever the case may be, thank you for listening. I'm your host, talking about tax and legal strategies, business ownership strategies, ways to build wealth, keep it, pay less to the tax man, and just try to enjoy our particular American dream. Everybody's dream's a little different. Every structure's a little different. But, okay, we're all here with a lot of the common issues that we try to talk about on this show. Got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be going over wholesaling and a guest that we've had on the show before who's just phenomenal. And I know that many of you have thought about wholesaling or maybe even wondered what it is, or so you may be in the business for years working with real estate and wholesaling strategies. Well, our guest will not disappoint. Jay Massey has figured out a lot of the tricks to the trade, how to build a better mousetrap, if you will, when it comes to wholesaling. So we're excited to have him with us here today, and he'll be sharing a lot of information on that here as we get closer to the bottom of the hour. Now, until then, you know, it's a couple points I wanted to cover, and we'll get an expert or two out here. I have a special guest as well to talk about a few things. But if you haven't had a chance to check out the newsletter, many of you know this is tax deadline month. This is just nuts. You know, in April, you can punt. You know, maybe some of you watched the NFL last night and first night of Monday Night Football, and you know that if you get into problems, you don't have to go for it on fourth down. You can just punt. Well, that's what April has been. March the 15th are like with your business and personal tax returns. But now it's time to push it over the goal line. Either you're going to make it the deadline or you're not. So business returns are due September 15th next week, and then personal returns are due October 15th. Now, I wanted to mention something really, really important here. The sky is falling. If you may not be able to get your return done or you may owe. Let me hit a couple important points. The first thing is on the personal return, there is no penalty if you don't owe. So on your personal tax return, if you don't owe, maybe you put in enough deposits, maybe you made a big deposit in April with your extension, and you've done enough of the tax return to realize, hey, I'm not going to owe. Maybe it's very similar to last year, and you didn't owe before last year. So if you don't owe, you don't have to rush to file and cram it in because the penalty is based on if you owe or not. Now, if you do owe, the penalties are horrendous. Not only is there a failure to pay, there's a failure to file. It's a nightmare. So what I tell clients is if you do owe, at least file. We can always work on an installment agreement later, work on maybe an offer and compromise. But if you do owe, it's better that you always file and let the IRS know what's going on because the penalties can get enormous. So that's a little tip there on the personal returns. Now, some of you are sitting here going, Mark, my return's been filed for months. I don't need to worry about this. Okay, hey, you know, enjoy the ride. That's cool. But for some of you that are stressing out a little bit, keep that in mind on your personal. On the business return, if you don't file your business return, that's the S-Corp or LLC by September 15th, the penalty is $195 per month per shareholder. So if some of you are thinking, hey, I just cannot pull this off this weekend. I've got too much going on at work or a trip or family or whatever the case may be, your health, you don't have the books put together yet, you can take that extra 30 days, get the business return done before your personal, and things really spiral out of control. Take that extra few weeks and get the business done. The penalty is, again, around $195 per shareholder or member of the LLC. So it's not the end of the world. There's not a big percentage of some sort of tax owed or something like that. So you've got to keep that in mind. Now, there are state tax returns due, so keep your state tax in mind. I can't comment on 50 different states there, but confirm with your CPA or your planner, our PTC, our office, call our admin if you're working with us. If you can't make the deadline due to, again, bookkeeping, I just want to assure all of you that there are options. So don't jump off a cliff. I know the feeling. Many of you that have listened to my workshops or have been to one of my workshops or shows know that I hire my kids to work in my business. And I'm going to say this right now. I'm kind of excited. I don't know if she's listening to me. She's got her earphones in. But about 10 feet behind me at the conference room table in my office here, I've got my daughter, Allison. She just came over after school, and she is doing QuickBooks right now, and she's working on my S-Corp QuickBooks, tightening them up. So as I speak right here, I'm working on my S-Corp return too, and I've got my daughter here learning QuickBooks, and it's awesome. It takes a little extra time to do some training there, but it's wonderful to have her in the office here helping me. So, folks, we're all in this together. You can sense my same entrepreneurial spirit that many of you share with me. Now, hey, what I wanted to do real quick is bring on a special guest that is launched a new website that's really unique. I bumped into him over the weekend. I thought this was really cool, and I asked him to come out on the show and tell us about it. I think it could help a lot of our real estate investors out there around the country. And so I wanted to welcome Zach Zacherson to the show, and he's with FizzBurf. And I'm going to let him tell us about it, and because I know I won't do it justice. But Zach, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you so much. Thanks for having us on. We are very excited here at FizzBurf and glad to have this opportunity to talk about it.
Well, you bet. Now, whether it's Yahoo or Google or FizzBurf or what, you know, kind of a catchy little name you got there. So what is FizzBurf all about? Tell us how this could impact many of us that are just kind of small little real estate investors out there buying a rental here or there.
Absolutely. So FizzBurf is in the market to help people sell their homes and keep the commission. It's as simple as that. So we have a belief that you know your property best. You should be able to sell it. And we believe that we can support you with the tools and materials that you need to have a very polished, professional presentation, let you list your home for free and sell it, so that you can keep the commission.
Well, now I want to mention this too. I've got a lot of wonderful realtor clients and brokers, and I'm going to be speaking at the Utah Association of Realtor Conference here in just 3 days in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I love what realtors do. They play a very, very important role, so we're not trying to take away from that. But there is a market out there where people are just hell-bent to throw up a sign in front of their house and say, I'm going to for sale by owner, and that's the way it is, and that's cool. But what you guys have done is allowed them to be able to list that on a website as well, if I understand it correctly, so they're not just isolated to who's driving by the house.
Absolutely, and Mark, we're happy to make that point too. You know, we absolutely believe that there are real estate professionals that provide a ton of value, and some customers, that's the absolute right way to sell their home. And what we do is we give customers an opportunity to start the process themselves. And if they need additional help along the way, we give them additional support along the way. And so one of the things that's great about FizzBurf is we provide you the tools and solutions you need as you need them. A lot of customers start listing their home for free online. They like the cool tools that we provide you, give you a nice digital marketing brochure. We'll let you create a YouTube video that you can publish. We broadcast your listing, you know, all throughout the web. Zillow, Trulia, help you put it on Craigslist, homes.com. You know, there's a really long list of sites that will take the listing once you put it on FizzBurf.com. And so once you've put it there and you've got that broad exposure, you know, the National Association of Realtors has even published some statistics that say 92% of people that are looking for a home start online. And as many as 75% of those people will drive past the home that they found online before they engage, you know, with a realtor or any other kind of professional. And so for a lot of people that are willing to do a little bit more work and try to save a little bit more money, that category of for sale by owners, this is a great opportunity to go ahead and try it for free, put your house out there, get broad exposure, and see what you're able to make of it.
Now, FSBR itself has its own database that's gaining momentum. So when you do list it on FSBR, there's a whole inventory of properties, and you're growing with that. And then you do list it in all these other web-based platforms. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We're gaining as many as 150 new listings every day since January of this year. We're close to 10,000 listings on our site, and it is. It's great. It's exciting to see as the market gets to know what we're doing. They're recognizing that by coming over to FSBR and listing their home. So absolutely. On the selling side, it's a great place to be to sell your home. On the buying side, increasingly, we've got a great inventory of properties there that people are interested in. And it's not all the properties you might expect. We've got some really cool properties there. We open it up to anyone who's interested in selling their property, and we've gotten some pretty unique things. We've gotten a goat farm, for instance, and a couple of private islands, some small businesses, multi-use tenant properties, all kinds of things there. But the key is the same, right? You know, do the work to sell your home, try to save the commission, and many customers have told us they've saved, you know, thousands of dollars doing it.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here on the show. Those that are regular listeners for the show, it's not an infomercial where I just bring on advertisers. I thought this was a really unique thing, and maybe I'm out of the loop and there's other competitors out there. I get around and I haven't seen a lot like this. So I'm grateful, Zach, that you came out. And now hold it. It can't be for free, right? Are you just selling ads on your website? Where are you making this? is there some sort of fee somewhere? There's got to be, right?
You know, actually, Mark, there's not. I could appreciate, you know, I'm kind of talking very positively about this, but we're really excited, you know, for that very reason. It is free to get started. And if you list and sell your home yourself, you know, we don't charge you a dime. But as you've mentioned, you know, we are always looking for ways to add additional value. And we've got some cool services on our site that folks can pay for, and that's where we generate most of our revenue. For instance, if you want a professionally designed yard sign, we can sell a yard sign for you. If you found a buyer and you're selling, but you don't exactly know how to navigate the paperwork or the complexity of the closing, the transaction, the escrow, we have a transaction coordinator service that can give you that professional support and advice for, you know, 1% of the closing cost. And, you know, we absolutely are looking for real estate professionals that recognize, you know, the industry is changing and that are open to providing new services and doing new things. And we have a network of real estate professionals that offer their services, sometimes at a discount, to our customers. So, you know, we really think that there's no reason not to try it. If you've got some property and you want to sell it, and see what we can do for you and with our various tools. And also, if you need to work with a realtor, you know, we can also connect you to one of our FSBR pros that'll provide amazing realtor services, perhaps a discounted commission.
No, I love it. Well, thank you, Zach, so much. So interesting. Again, the web is just, again, blossoming with more and more strategies. And for as we talk in our office every day with investors, we want to help them find ways to locate properties and sell their properties, use professionals and realtors and brokers and go to the investment clubs, any method possible. So that's why I bring it up. So, Zach, the website, of course, www.fizber.com, right?
That's right. Thanks so much, Mark. And, you know, we agree. We think that technology gives us a great opportunity to solve interesting problems. And, you know, we're glad to be a part of providing solutions.
Cool. Well, Zach, thanks so much for being with us. We hope to have you back. Good luck with all you're doing.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark, and be glad to come back anytime.
Thanks. All right. Well, folks, we're going to keep moving along here. We're going to be moving to our special guest, if you've just joined us, here shortly, Jay Massey, wholesaling expert on real estate around the country. Such an amazing story, a good friend, a client, known him for years. He's been on the show before. Well, I'm lucky to get him once a year because he's got such a busy travel schedule. We'll have him here with us momentarily. But before then, one other quick legal tip. As you know, we'll have a legal or tax tip every week that might impact you in a unique way. So we've got Kevin Kennedy, one of our attorneys out of the Phoenix office, who may have got washed out yesterday and all this flooding. Kevin, are you above water? Are you swimming over there? What's going on?
Yeah, I had to take a boat to work, but that's all right. No, I'm good. I was on the east side. It was a little bit drier on the east side. Some of our other staff come from the west side of the valley, and they got drenched. So
wow,
I'm good. I'm here. I made it.
Well, Monday Night Football was there in Phoenix, and the Glendale stadium there is generally on the west side. How did that go? I didn't know what the story was there. It was people trying to get to the stadium.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, UOP, University of Phoenix Stadium is in Glendale, which is on the west side, so I don't know how that worked. That's a good point.
I wasn't there,
needless to say. So.
Yeah, the stadium looked full to me last night, so whatever it was. Oh. Well,
yeah.
All right. Well, hey, have you got a legal tip for us? Not a tax tip, I presume, but a legal tip for us here?
I do, yep, Mark. So, as you know, many of our clients and probably some of the listeners have a self-directed retirement account, which they use to make their passive investments into real estate, you know, whether they're a lender or a landlord or whatever. And they know as they do this, they're growing their retirement account, they're taking advantage of the real estate deals that are out there without having to pay tax on the gains until retirement. And I'd say probably most of those clients, most of the listeners who are doing this, who are self-directing, are doing so out of a self-directed IRA. But some may have an investment vehicle it's known by many names, but it's basically a self-directed 401k, sometimes called a solo K, an owner's only 401k, or a one participant 401k. And Mark, as you know, we advise on these, and we can set these up for clients. A few weeks ago, I was actually on the show. I gave a legal tip about the 401k loan. And we educate clients on this area of investing when it comes to using your self-directed 401k. And, of course, Matt, your partner, who literally wrote the book on self-directed IRA. So we get lots of calls on these. So one of the benefits of these investments is that it opens up opportunities, you know, that you don't get with your institutionalized Wall Street IRA or 401k. So it's great. But here's my legal tip, my point. The tip is that, you know, clients who have a self-directed retirement account just need to know that there are some quirks in this area of the law, and there's some complexities that they wouldn't have to worry about with their, you know, institutionalized Wall Street retirement account. So if they'll take the time, as they see all the benefits that exist out there, and there's a lot, but if they'll take the time to talk with a good attorney beforehand who knows this area of the law, they can save themselves, you know, thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. And Matt wrote an article about one particular issue a few weeks ago, but it came up recently. So we have clients who have self-directed 401k, and it may have both a traditional account and a Roth account. And so, in almost all events in this scenario, they're wearing many hats in this setup. You know, they're the employer, they're the business owner, but they're also the employee. And finally, you know, they're also the 401k plan trustee and administrator. So where they have an institutionalized, you know, Wall Street Roth IRA that they would like to roll over into their Roth account of their self-directed 401k, without checking first with an attorney or without knowing what the rules are, it would make sense that they would think that they could do that, you know, Roth to Roth, but they can't. They can't do that. And so I just want to bring that up to the listeners because it comes up and it's kind of a weird quirk. If they do that, it will be a distribution and it'll be taxed accordingly. So that's just one example, Mark, of how, you know, talking with a good attorney before pulling the trigger on something, you know, even when you think it isn't a big deal, even when you think it's routine, it's going to save you a lot of heartache and money. So, this is a weird quirk, and otherwise, just so the listeners know, you can pretty much roll anything you want into your self-directed 401k. But anyway, that's my tip. You know, if anyone has questions about setting up a self-directed 401k, or already has a self-directed 401k and has questions, or a self-directed IRA, they can, you know, of course, contact our office and we can help them out. So that's my tip.
Well, wow, I love it. It's a mouthful. It's great. I think the 401k is just phenomenal. I'll give one little additional point or tip on this. Is that, folks, if you want to sock away a lot of money before your end and you see that you've got some, you know, this is conversations I have with folks every day, is that they're seeing a large tax bill for this year coming down the pipe. They're having a successful 2014. If you want to put away more money than a simple little IRA or a SEP, the 401k is awesome. Just here's the deadline. December 1st. It's critical that you get your 401k documents prepped in the pipeline by December 1st. And then by the end of December and January, you can work out the deferral, and the company match can even be made in the middle of 2015. But the paperwork has to be done this year if you want to put money in a 401k before the end of the year. So, folks, get with Kevin. We can put together a 401k for you very affordably, and simply you're in control. You run the checkbook. It's your 401k. Still may need a 401, IRA LLC, 401k LLC to do some more creative real estate, but at least you get it going. So, Kevin, thanks so much. Great stuff.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, I appreciate it. And that's Kevin. You can reach him at kevin@kkoslawyers.com. kevin@kkoslawyers.com, or just call our main number to track him down. Thanks, Kevin. All right. Well, it is now that time of the hour where we're going to be able to bring on our special guest, the one and only Jay Massey, who just has such an amazing story from rags to riches in real estate, and using wholesaling is a wonderful method to get there. And such a good friend author, I should say, as well, author of Cashflow Diary and Investing Made Easier Wholesaling. He has an amazing podcast on iTunes. He's the president of West Egg Enterprises. I just love every time I have a chance to talk to him. So, Jay, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
I am definitely glad to be here, sir.
Well, it's our honor. It really is. And I think if your daughter, too, that's the same age as mine, and I know you've got her working in the business, is she working on your QuickBooks, too? I should ask right now. I want to make sure you're putting her to
use. She is not a QuickBooks kind of mind. She might work with some of the graphics and design stuff, but no, not her. Yeah. No, she's getting ready to, believe it or not, go to college, of all things.
Oh, so she graduated. Was a senior then. This last year.
Yeah.
So she's
going
off to college as a freshman. Oh, wow.
Yep. She says she's going to study real estate and business. That's what she says.
Well, you got to be proud of that. Proud father. Well, Jay, thanks for being with us. For the folks that don't know you, and I know there's a lot of our listeners that have at least seen your book or know of you, but for those that don't, I just get so inspired with your story, and you don't need to get into details. Of course, I know you get sick of telling your motivational story to so many groups around the country, but tell us how you bumped into wholesaling and why you got so excited about wholesaling as an investment strategy.
Sure. Well, I didn't know about wholesaling, so let me be very clear. It's not like I was searching for wholesaling. I was searching for a solution. I needed a way to eat at the end of the day. That's what I was looking for. And to make a lot of things short so that just people have some context and understanding, when I got involved in real estate investing, my wife and I were technically squatting a bank-owned property, homeless. She has a condition known as hyperemesis that means she couldn't eat or drink, and I had a punctured lung. I couldn't walk and talk simultaneously without fainting. So we were selling our personal possessions on eBay to try to make ends meet. And what eventually happened, especially in California, is there was a store known as CompUSA. So, and they were selling their inventory at a discount. So to take an example, AT&T DSL modem, which would normally retail for like $69 or $70 or whatever, they got all the way down to $18. Now, it was still a brand new modem in the box, so I would buy that modem at $18 and resell it on eBay for $45. And that was the basic premise. And then what happened is someone said, hey, you could do this thing called wholesaling with real estate, and I'm like, tell me more about it, and it turns out it's the exact same process. You buy the property, quote-unquote, buy the property at a discount, and you resell it at a discount quickly. And I was like, well, that's just like what I was doing over here with eBay, and that helped us tremendously. I mean, it took us a while to get the first one done, but after we got the first one done, 3 weeks later, we did like 11 more transactions, and now we've done hundreds in many different states, and it's a way out of a situation. It's a way to create cash flow, capital, when you don't have any. And the cool thing is I've learned that it's not just single family houses where you can do this. We've done this with apartment buildings now as well, in addition to the ones that we get to keep.
Did you find that there was many barriers to entry. You mentioned you didn't have to have a lot of cash or even credit to begin wholesaling properties. Are there barriers? What would be the barriers that you would see the average person face if they were going to try to get going in this type of strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. What it comes down to is that you've got four basic components inside of a real estate transaction. You got knowledge, time, money, and credit. So you've got to contribute
one. Let's say that a little slower for everybody. So you call them knowledge, time,
money, and credit. Somebody's got to bring the knowledge, know what they're doing. Someone's got to have the time to do it. Someone's got to have some sort of money. Someone's got to have some sort of credit. And here's the cool thing. With the correct knowledge, you can learn to eliminate the need for credit, and then you can learn to find those who have money. And therefore, because you now know what you're doing, you can build a team that has the time to execute the vision. And that, at the end of the day, the major thing that's needed is desire and faith. You got to have the desire to get something done. That means the desire's got to be greater than watching the next TV show. It's got to be greater than sleeping in that extra hour. And then you've got to go out there and actually execute, the faith to execute. You're like, I've never done this before. I understand. I had never done it before either. There are many things we've never done before, but that we now do. And we've got to have the willingness to go out there and fail. And I say fail forward, fail fast, and fail frequently. And you can end up in a better spot once you start to practice what it is that you've been learning. And the barrier is that most people don't want to deal with failure, in my opinion. We've learned to get things right the first time, and we don't like it. And you can't do two things simultaneously. You can't learn and look good. And, Mark, honestly, if we could let go of our addiction to looking good, we would learn a lot more.
Well, like you, for you, you already look good, so it's easy to say that. So,
no.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, you know what I love about your story, and we'll get into some more specifics here. And folks, if you have a question for Jay during the show, please come out online, ask us a live question if you like. You can call in at 646-200-4285. That's 646-200-4285, or shoot me an email directly, and I'll ask Jay the question here. That's mark@markjkohler.com, or any of the other emails that you'll connect to me on, the law firm or accounting firm. And finally, for those that are listening live on your computer, you can type in a question on the chat line. So Jay, the story, the part that here that was just so inspirational for me too, is that you were a licensed financial advisor, you had a young family, you were really living the dream and having this path, this career path. And then when 2008 hit and really just knocked the feet out under a lot of us that were doing real estate, it opened up the door to wholesaling as well. And so when you were looking for a new opportunity and struggling and hit bottom, wholesaling was often overlooked as a strategy. But boy, you can find wholesaling deals in a lot of markets today because of these markets that are still rebounding. Tell us the mechanics of how a wholesale transaction would take place, maybe, as you found that as your escape, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. And the major thing is it's an adjustment of mindset. The thing is, people ask me this all the time, Jay, how do you find property? How do you find property to wholesale? And the secret, quote unquote, so here it is to find a problem, not a property. That's the secret, is you look for problems. And right now, as you said, yeah, the marketplace is tons of chaos. And that's why I say where there's chaos, there's cash flow. So what you do is you find someone who's got a problem who happens to own real estate. Now you increase your odds by being around where real estate people are or people who own real estate would be. And you ask them one simple question. And we go through this in my book to help people have a foundation on how to begin to find these deals. I would always say is, hi, my name is Jay. So you say, hi, your name. Hi, my name is Jay. I'm a wholesaler. What that means is that I buy property at a discount and I sell property at a discount. What type of investing are you looking to do? And when you lead as someone who can provide a solution as opposed to what you need, people will share with you what it is that they're looking for. And eventually you will run into the person who says something like, I don't want to buy anything. I got property and I got a problem. Can you buy it from me? and that's what you're looking for. Now, since then, we've developed more advanced strategies, like we worked with public adjusters because they know where a ton of problems are. That's probably one of a secret strategy, if you will, that everybody could use. You know, go look up public adjusters because they chase down the buildings that are on fire that have water damage. And hearing what happened in Phoenix recently, you probably could find a few. And they know because those landlords are usually in a situation where they're like, I do not want to fix this. I don't want to go through the problem of fixing this. At some point, they get tired of it. And, well, some of them do. And then that becomes the opportunity. And the thing to understand is for the new person, for myself, for all of us, we need the marketplace to, quote, unquote, break. That's what creates our opportunity to get in. Because if it always went up and it was always good, it would keep rising well beyond our reach. So we must learn to train our minds and eyes to see the problem and then find a way to solve them.
Now, technically, the procedure, so that those that are new to this, it really is in simple steps, if I may, and then we can
sure.
hyper-focus on some of these and unpackage it. But it's really finding that problem property, writing an offer,
right.
sometimes with
oh, yeah.
irrevocable cash flow, sometimes with refundable cash flow. Non-refundable cash flow or refundable. So you write an offer, you tie up the property, and then that's
right.
when another type of work comes into play where you look for a potential buyer that sees an opportunity that wasn't as diligent or creative as you to find it. So you created this marginal benefit, and then you transfer the contract or you assign the contract, and you make a fee, and you're out of there. I mean, that's it is rudimentary, simple steps. Did I hit it? What would you add to that?
No, that's exactly right. The main thing where people get stuck in that is they go, well, Jay, I can't write the offer because I don't have the money. I hear that more than I wish I did. And I often tell people, you know, that imagine if you will, and this is how I explain it when I'm speaking to people because it helps them. When you go to the store, if you're going to the store to pick up a computer, or if you know what today is, you know, when you go to the store to pick up the new iWatch that just was announced and all this other stuff, the moment you pick that thing up and you're still inside the store, that's not the moment you actually need the money. In fact, you still have to carry it to the front, stand in line, wait your turn, and wait for the cashier to ring it up, and then they ask you, how would you like to pay for it? You don't need it until that exact moment. And that exact moment inside of real estate is called close of escrow. So you can write the offer already. You can make your selection. You can do all of that while you're in the store. And that's what writing the offer is. And that's what getting the offer accepted is all about. You've made your selection. You've written the offer. Now you've got your contract. And as you're walking towards the front of the store, you're screaming to the rafters, hey, who would like to buy this deal before I get to the checkout line? And, yeah, you need someone to come before the cashier says, hey, it's time to pay. But that's when you do the work. You scramble to do that. Or you do like I ask people to do when I'm teaching them. You do it always. You're always in this process of collecting people who would potentially buy, understanding what I call their investor identity, so that when you do get a property, you have a minimum of 5 different people who are willing to buy that property or a property like it from you, so that your time between contract and cash is like 72 hours or less.
Oh, so exciting. Now, and I should say, some of the, as I get the luxury of advising clients on a daily basis, setting up entities, making money, it's so exciting to me to see people without a lot of cash hit some of these base hits to make 5 grand, 10 grand, 50 grand or more with some of these wholesale projects, and then figure out they can also do it in their IRA or do it in their 401k.
Right.
And then
right.
start wholesaling there or inside their health savings account. It just, opportunities are so exciting. If you could tell us maybe about one of, I know you've been really active in Tennessee, down in the
yeah.
South. Could you tell us about one of your commercial projects? I know that you've found some low-income
sure.
housing. You've worked with some city officials that have problems, and they see you as the knight in shining armor coming to town. Tell us about that if you don't mind.
I don't know how much of a knight, but they definitely say things like, well, boy, where did you come from? That's kind of how they say it in the South. Like, where are you from? That's definitely true. So when you say commercial, you don't mean like a commercial building, because I could talk about that, but you're saying like an apartment in this case. Is that accurate?
Right, yes. I should say a multi-unit.
Okay.
I'll say a multi-unit. Yes, absolutely. I apologize.
Got it. Yeah, no, the example that I speak about in my book was a 72-unit building. It was a 72-unit building, 100% vacant, bank-owned, REO. Now, this was a rare example where I did find it online, and it was an REO. That is so not normal for me, okay? However, it had the typical signs. You know, fire and water damage is kind of the stuff that we look for. And this was two-bedroom, one-bath, two-story building. And the other thing to understand is when someone has a problem, if the problem is big enough, they will let it go. They'll pay any price for it. It's like if you go to the doctor and you think you're just going for a routine checkup, and you're like, okay, cool, I can pay for a routine checkup. But then he comes back and says, oh, you got cancer. It just goes from routine checkup to blank check. Whatever I got to do, doc, is what I'm about to do. And this is the same thing when it comes to real estate. If the problem is big enough, they will let it go at any price. Therefore, ignore list price. I absolutely ignore it. And I was actually doing it as an example because someone said in the crowd, they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, okay, watch me. So I got on the phone and I did it right there. And the list price started in the hundreds of thousands. And I said, okay, I'll pay $35,000. They said, no. How about 100? I said, no. How about 60? They said, okay. I'm like, wow. And that's how it started. Because it was a problem. And we've gone through, and I'm about to actually get on a plane here in a couple of days to go back and to hopefully finish securing all the rest of the funding that's required to get the property in the condition that it needs to be. And it'll be a very, very, very nice asset for the community, and because it's next to a school. It fits all the criteria that we would normally do. It's just really cool to be able to affect that kind of change. And this one, obviously, we didn't wholesale it. We kept it. But at the end of the day, it still requires the same skill sets that you learn as wholesaling. Finding the deal is where it's at, so that you always have a way to generate an income. No matter where I go on the planet, I could go to a complete foreign country. So long as they live, work, or play on real estate, I could figure out a way to do business.
Well, you know, I know that you get my newsletter, and you send me a little comment here and there, so you may have noticed the last couple of weeks we've been talking about rehabbing. And probably the biggest takeaway that I had that was new and kind of unexpected for me in those shows was that our experts that came on over a two-week period said, Mark, everybody thinks the barrier is money. Yeah, that I don't have money. I don't have money, or I don't know where to get money. And they said, no. The barrier is finding the deals. And if you take the time to get educated and hit the pavement and talk to people and open your mouth, you find those deals. You're more valuable than money, and the money will start finding you. And I was just really astonished by that, where people that really feel like they have no opportunity to succeed in real estate or small business, they can quickly find themselves to be the leader of a team and very valuable, and people with money attracted to them just by some hard work and ingenuity. I think wholesaling really reflects that. Is that your experience as well with wholesaling?
Yeah, exactly. As I said earlier, knowledge, time, money, or credit. If you don't have money or credit, you've got to invest the knowledge and the time. And wholesaling is way more effort. And that's what's valuable, is your ingenuity, your intellectual capital that you develop on how to find the deals and transact the deals. And some people, they can find the deal, but they don't know how to put the ingredients together to bake the cake. And I've seen that too. You know, there have been many people who have come to me and they've got all the ingredients right in front of them, but they don't see the finished puzzle piece together. And that's what we spend time doing, is showing them, look, you've got it all together already. Here's what you've got to do in this order, and there you go. And it's various levels of that's the key. But yeah, because right now, especially the way, you know, our economy is, our government is printing money, you know, the experience is way more valuable than the money that's out there.
Well, we've got an email question from one of our listeners. This is from Cindy, and she said, Jay, thank you so much for sharing your insight. It's such valuable inside information. Do you use the strategy, and then she goes on to ask, do you use the strategy of probate to find properties to wholesale? Is that, that's a good question. I don't, do you, now, what's your experience with probate properties and looking through the records of properties that may be showing up there?
Got it. And again, as in, this is where the effort is that I talk about comes. So, Cindy, thank you very much for asking this, because you bring up a point that I really love making, is that there are certain strategies in real estate that are only acquisition strategies, and there are other strategies that are disposition or selling strategies. So you've just got to be clear about that. As a wholesaler, if I'm going to have a business as a wholesaler, it's to my advantage to become a master of many different ways of buying my quote-unquote inventory. It's like if I sold, you know, toothpaste. I don't want one supplier of toothpaste. I need many suppliers to make sure that my shelves are always full. So probate, yeah, is definitely something we have experience with. Here's why I do like it, and I'll tell you why I don't like it in a second. I like it because I value being first. It is the premier way to be first to a property, in my opinion. You could be the first person. Many times when doing a probate deal, you know the property is for sale even long before the personal representative has even considered selling it, and you're one of the first, if not the first, to actually contact them. You know, so first through the door often gets you the deal if you understand how to solve the problem. So I love that from that aspect. Here's why I don't like it. It's too slow because they don't have the same motivation as, you know, other types of buyers in the marketplace, because they don't have to. Yeah, they need to close the estate, but it's not like they need to close the estate by 20 days from now or else something else is going to happen. And to some degree, they can take their time, and that usually isn't conducive to the person who's trying to do wholesaling, because usually by the time you're considering wholesaling, you need money faster, and probate just doesn't always lend itself to that. Now, if you've got 6-7 months to burn to build the pipeline so that you can eventually end up in a situation to where you consistently have business, great way to do it. Just know going in that the sales cycle is longer with a probate deal.
Very, very insightful. Got another question here from Trent. He asks, he goes on a little bit lengthy here, so I'll paraphrase, but essentially asks, do you have problems, Jay, with going into closing and collecting an assignment fee? How do you collect your wholesaling fee when escrow is involved, realtors might be involved, a title company? Do you find barriers there that you have to kind of educate the people involved in the transaction? What do you run into there as possible problems?
Yeah. Well, first, and again, I, from a residential standpoint, my counsel and advice is always to find the deal yourself. That's what you're getting paid for. So don't use realtors in that sense to acquire the property. To sell the property, sure, knock yourself out. Because in acquisition mode, when you're trying to buy the property, I've had significant challenges anytime a realtor's involved, because unfortunately, most of them don't understand the concept of how it's done, and they're designed to serve the retail market. So let them do what they do best, and you and I, we can do the 5% of the other stuff, and that 5%, I promise you, is big enough to carve out a very, very nice living. So, yeah, that's definitely one. And then title can be another one, unless you understand the multiple ways to actually do the paperwork, either using an assignment contract or two separate purchase agreements, and you've got to work a lot of these kinks out, and it helps to have a knowledgeable title person who actually understands what's going on, which is not all of them. So you can't just randomly pick one out of the phone book. You're going to have to do some legwork as you're going through the process to build and construct the team that makes the difference. And again, these are the effort parts that I'm talking about that create the value. Not everybody can do this. Not everybody knows how to do this. And when you do find that team, that's the one you're going to work with and you have to work with continuously.
So if I'm reading into this, you search for wholesale properties within probably certain cities or areas where once you lock down a property, you can turn to your professional team of escrow and title, and they know you, know what you're trying to accomplish, so you don't have to re-educate a whole new network every time you find a property.
Yeah, and that's the other reason I like practicing clustering. I don't want to have to re-educate every time I do a deal. There's a lot of effort that goes into building that in the first place. So, you know, once you find a marketplace where the team works, then work that team. Keep them busy. You know, everybody loves people that brings them money. So, you know, bring them as much as you possibly can, so much so that you become their biggest client on the books, and then you'll see just how much begins to open up for you in that regard.
Okay. I wanted to ask this too. It's a show that we cover every year, and everybody asks me all the time, Mark, where are your clients doing deals? Is there a particular areas in the country that are hotter top areas for you to do wholesaling, or is it just anywhere you can wholesale? Where would you send people to work on this strategy?
Got it. And I'm going to do my best to be as specific as possible, but understand, wholesaling fills a need. So, for example, let's say I'm a big box retailer. I have a need for real estate. Wherever I want to put my next store, someone probably is wholesaling me that property. Believe it or not, it happens all the time, and it's there. So it depends on what type of real estate we're talking about, be that single-family residences, apartment buildings, industrial complexes, et cetera, et cetera. And it has to do with a concept that I call investor identity, i.e., figure out the person you can serve the best and serve them so well that they would go nowhere else. So from a single family standpoint, if you're looking for, you know, cash flow, some of the same things that have always been true is the Midwest and the South. That's where it is. That's where we still are, especially when it comes to single family houses. That's what we like to do. So when we're providing a turnkey asset, it's usually in the South or Midwest, because that's where it's easiest for us to go out there, find something, fix it up with a relatively low price, so someone can use some of the strategies that you and Kevin were talking about earlier with IRAs and all this other stuff, so that they can go out there and begin their passive income building. But wholesaling opportunities literally exist everywhere if you're looking for problems, not properties. See, what happens is many people start looking for properties, and as I said, 95% of them should be listed on the MLS. You're looking for the 5% that the realtors can't sell. So that's the secret to this whole thing. Go to a realtor, and here's, I'm telling you, this one question that I'm about to give everybody has led me to literally millions of dollars worth of property, okay? Literally. Take this one question.
Okay, I'm taking notes. I want to hear this.
Go to anyone who has a real estate license and is actively listing property, and ask them one question. Do you have anything that could be seller financed? And when they respond to that question, they're going to say yes or no. If they say no, then you ask them who else in their office might have something, because there's somebody in every real estate office who's got something that could be seller financed. When they say yes, let me tell you what you found. You found a problem. The reason the realtor is trying to talk to the seller into seller financing is because they're having trouble with financing. They probably have a problem with condition. It's not in the best of shape. It's a problem. And the realtor is just trying to sell property more than they are trying to solve problems. And that's an indication of where you can go. So you don't have to go too far to find a problem. I mean, occasionally, like when you mentioned earlier how I get the opportunity to go around the world talking to people, and this works regardless of country. I can go to nearly any country, and on the front page of the newspaper or within, you know, a few pages of the front page, I will find a real estate deal that is relative to a problem, because every newspaper spends money every day to tell everyone about all the problems. And it doesn't take long before you find one that's connected to real estate. And then once you do, you can chase that problem down, build a team to solve it, and you could become that person that now owns that property because you know how to solve it. That's what you're looking for. And so, you know, problems exist everywhere. Everywhere there are people, there are problems. And because of that, we can create value no matter where we are.
I love it. Well, we've got a live caller here with a question. So I think it's Jaleesa. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey there, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in. Are you doing some wholesaling yourself, or getting started in the business?
I am. Actually, I'm under Jay Matthews' direction, so it's a pleasure to be on.
I have a question. You can't go wrong if you're following Jay, so that's good. So.
Absolutely. My question was regarding business entities and tax preparation. Do you have any recommendations as far as, I just opened a S-Corp, and I wanted to make sure that was the correct entity that I should be operating under, as well as any advice as far as tax preparation for the upcoming season.
Got it. Well, one, here's what I'm going to say. You know that I'm not the attorney, but Mark is. However, listening to Mark, we all know that active income goes under an S corporation. And I will say this, my attorney, Mark, has suggested very strongly that that was the best entity choice for me. However, you may want to talk to your attorney, which I suggest, Mark, so that you have the ability to understand your situation as best as humanly possible as well. And my advice for tax preparation, which I've also learned from Mark, is to keep buying buy-and-hold rentals that have the ability to help you with that tax preparation so eventually your AGI gets to a level such that you don't have to really worry about that tax man. So, but we can see what Mark has to say.
Jay, great. I love that disclaimer too, Jay. You're so funny. I want to echo what Jay said, obviously. The S-Corp that you've already formed is fantastic for wholesaling. Wholesaling, if you were to fall upon a deal and you were not operating in the real estate realm and maybe just had one or two wholesales just fall in your lap and it wasn't your main part-time or main occupation or part-time even occupation, an S-Corp may not be important. You might be able to get short-term capital gain treatment, but that's still pushing the envelope. Wholesaling is an active trader income business. The S-Corp is a perfect fit for it. I think it's awesome, and it's going to allow you to generate other deductions and strategies. And then I just want to, again, echo what Jay said. Not only are you, not only should you be doing the normal things with an S-Corp, tracking your cell phone and travel and dining and entertainment and setting up a 401k, what are you doing with your health care, and shifting some of these wholesales into a retirement plan at some point. This rental property deal is huge because you're going to qualify as a real estate professional. And I know Jay himself has just as many real rental properties as he does wholesale deals because they offset each other and they help create a perfect tax return result. So keep looking for rentals along the way.
Awesome. Yep. Thank you.
Now, is this Jaleesa in that's been a part of the wholesaling course? I just want to make sure.
Yes,
it's the same. Awesome. That's cool. I know you just got, was it your second check recently?
Yes.
Awesome. Good stuff. Good stuff. Keep up the good work because it makes me feel good to know that you're out there using the information that I'm providing to earn money and thousands of dollars at that. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had one more follow-up question.
Yes.
As far as the S-Corp goes, is there a certain income threshold that I should be looking to hit towards the end of the year to maximize my tax deductions and tax savings?
Well, Jay, do you mind if I hit this one quickly?
This is all you, man.
Well, Jaleesa, I'd say this. The S-Corp is there, and maybe the way you phrase the question, I might rephrase it, is this. With the S-Corp, is there an income threshold where I need to start considering payroll planning or a 401k or a health savings account or rental properties or additional strategies? Because with the S-Corp, all of your wholesalers are going to go into it. We want to write off as many expenses as we can. When that net income, after it pays for the groceries and the house payment and the rent and the car payment, and you've got a little bit of cushion there, that's typically when we want to start implementing other strategies that complement the S-Corp. You're also going to have that payroll function. So when you start netting around $20,000, $30,000 and after expenses, so after all of your expenses, you think you're going to still make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, we've got to start implementing payroll on a quarterly basis. And so to give you some timing, October here in just another month, you might need to do a payroll report then, or at least in January, and call our office if you need some help, talk to your current or local CPA. But that's going to be probably your next major consideration, is just determining if you're going to set up payroll before year end or some sort of retirement plan or health savings account, because we've got the Obamacare opt-in enrollment period starting again in November, so we've got to worry about that. So keep tuning in. These year-end strategies, we'll be discussing them right here on the Mark Kohler Show.
Well, and knowing what I know about what the progress that she's made in our course are already, Mark, she's going to be there probably by November, just at the rate that she's been able to go. I mean, she got her first one done, and then a few weeks later, she did another one that was 10 times as more money. It was, or at least 6 times as more money in a very short period of time. And that, I know what happens. Once you get it, you got it, and you can't turn it off, and it's going to keep going. So I have a strong suspicion she's going to be there really, really soon.
Well, Jaleesa, we wish you the best. That's just so exciting. Hang in there. Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate both of you. Take care.
You take care. Well, Jay, on that note, I was just going to ask, isn't rental property a – and we've just got 3 or 4 minutes left here, so I don't want to get too far off tangent here, but
sure.
Rental property is a good fallback position in a wholesale. I mean, if you – the wholesale
– right.
turns into a great hold opportunity, you're going to grab it, aren't you?
That's exactly what happened on my very, very first transaction. Is I was trained enough to know have multiple exit strategies. So it didn't work out as a wholesale, it became a buying hold, and in fact, I still have it. So it is definitely something to always prepare for or be prepared for, no matter what it is that you're going into. But absolutely, you got to have more than one way out, so to speak.
Well, Jay, how can people get more of you? I know you've got your books out. Please, tell us about some of the things you're doing so that people can learn more about the strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the best way to learn more about wholesaling right now is that if people go to cashflowdiary.com/workshop, workshop spelled normally, cashflowdiary.com/workshop, you can register for a complimentary webinar where I literally go through how I did my first, I think it's 11 transactions in about 3 weeks, or 11 transactions in 1 week, earning a minimum of $2,000 a transaction. You can learn that process. That doesn't mean you're going to earn anything. It does mean, though, I'm going to show you how I did it, and you have a shot at being able to duplicate the same. So that's cashflowdiary.com/workshop. And then on Tuesdays, like later today, I will be doing what I call Q&A with Jay. It's where you get to ask me more questions about any topic real estate related that you'd like at cashflowdiary.tv. And lastly, if you just want to hear some of the great people in interviews that I get to meet, you can go to cashflowdiarypodcast.com because we produce a show. We're actually about to hit episode 100. It's kind of exciting.
Oh, that's exciting. Hey, well, Jay, I wanted to make sure we got that information out, but in our last 2 minutes, we do have another live caller. Paul, welcome to the show, and you'll have to talk quickly here so we can try to get you a quick answer.
Sure, real quick. So you're looking for problems, not properties, and so can you give me a quick example of a problem that you would solve, considering that you're the wholesaler and you're passing the property down to typically a fix and flipper or a conventional end buyer? What would be an example
absolutely.
Of a problem?
Sure, no problem. Take a property that's recently experienced a fire. Okay, fire damage or flood damage, or maybe it's a tenant problem and the landlord's tired. What you do is you take the landlord has a problem. He doesn't want the property because it comes with a tenant or he's got to rebuild it. Okay, cool. Mr. Landlord, I'll buy that from you as is, where is, no problem. Don't touch a thing. This also works very well for probate. Don't touch anything else. I'll take it. I'll take the problem off your hands. Now, because I'm taking the problem as is, it's going to come in as a little bit of a discount for all of these reasons. And then what you do is you find another person who's willing to completely resolve the problem because they're probably a little bit more energetic. They're probably excited. They're looking to expand their portfolio. These two individuals have completely two different energies. And what you do is you find that person who says, hey, I'm ready to get started. How can I get in? And you go, hey, well, for X thousands of dollars, here you go. You can have this problem, and here's what you need to do. And you outline for them in a very simple way. Here's what you need to do to fix it. And you're going to have to build a team and do all these things, or they may have it themselves.
I love it. And I know you'll be able to, Paul, get more information about Jay at his website, cashflowdiary.com/workshop. Catch him on his live broadcast today at cashflowdiary.com. Hey, thank you for being with us, man. You rock!
Thank you.
And we'll have you back. And folks, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Keep living the dream.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.